Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Remember, you miss any part of the show, you can always grab the podcast. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Just use the word Sports Junkies to grab the podcast. All right, join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Sean Casey from the MLB Network. What's up, Sean?
Sean, what's up, buddy?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Hey, Sean, real quick, before we get into the Nat stuff. So I've got a good friend who pitched for JMU. His name is Jeff Hafer. Jeff Hafer. I don't know if you remember that name. But
yeah, I do remember Jeff.
He's a good friend of mine, and his daughter and my daughter played softball together. Anyway, he texted me. He goes, "You guys are having Sean on?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "He's the best hitter I ever played against." He said, when he was a freshman at Richmond and we played in the conference tournament, he had 8 consecutive hits against us.
So, why didn't they walk him?
So, why didn't they intentionally walk you? What are they doing to throw him to you?
I know, man. I know, man. We had some good battles with JMU. Those guys were good. Those are fun years, man. Thanks for bringing me back to that. I love that.
Good stuff.
Well, what was your best moment in college?
You know what? My best moment in college was probably going to the we went to regionals my junior year, and just being with those guys when it got announced on ESPN, you know, that whole thing, we're sitting there, nobody knows, and it pops on, and I remember they introduced Richmond. They said, you know, Jacksonville is going to – we were in the Clemson regional, and they're like, Jacksonville is going to take on the team with the nation's leading hitter, Sean Casey, Richmond Spiders. And it was like such an elation with all the guys, and we jumped in the – you know, there's a lake at University of Richmond. We all jumped in the lake. Like, just that moment with those guys was probably, when I look back, one of my favorite moments ever.
Oh, yeah, you can't beat that for sure.
Well, Nats fans aren't jumping in any lakes. They're not real happy with going on. Just give us your initial thoughts when you heard that Davey and Riz, and we have a good relationship with Mike Rizzo. We would have him on the show every Wednesday for the last three or four years. Really good relationship with
Longer
him.
Longer than that.
Longer than that, yeah. So your thoughts when you heard that?
Well, you know what? I was shocked. I really was, especially Riz. I wasn't totally shocked about Davey, but I feel like Davey and Riz were kind of a package deal. But I was very shocked that I just feel like Riz is one of the best in the business, and he has such a mind for, you know, they've won a championship under him. The Soto trade that was really starting to come to fruition with James Wood becoming a superstar in this game, going to be one of the best players for the next 10 to 15 years probably. C.J. Abrams, the way he's played, McKenzie Gore going to the All-Star game, all three of those guys could go to the All-Star game. You know, you're about to get the first pick of the draft, and if you take Cade Anderson, you probably have a big league ready pitcher out of LSU ready to go. It's like so many things look like when they ask, oh man, they're so close to getting where they need to be, and then to drop the bomb of getting rid of Rizzo and Davey I was really shocked. I was on air on MLB Network the other night when it happened. I was, I think everybody was like, wow, like especially Riz,
right?
Especially Riz. I thought Davey. I listen, in this industry sometimes, I mean, you don't want to lose the locker room or the players. I just thought Davey's comments a few weeks back on, you know, the coaches, you know, it's not the coaches, it's the players. I know if I was a player, I'd be like, really? That were, I kind of feel a little, you know, weird about that. So you could maybe understand that they haven't won and you're looking at the manager to maybe go, you know, and, you know, I could understand maybe Dave, but Riz was baffling to me.
Yeah, I think all of us were a little bit surprised, but I, like you say, I do think that Davey and Riz kind of became attached at some point. The one thing that people criticize Mike for, because everybody knows this guy's a baseball lifer, he knows the game as well as anybody. The draft picks and the farm system, I guess maybe hadn't played out as well as expected, and other teams have done better. Your experience coming up, like being drafted and all of that, how difficult is it to identify talent? Like, what's going on there? Why do you think that Mike and his group seem to struggle there in that one aspect? They would do so well in trades and maybe do well in some maybe free agent signings, but the draft was something that, you know, of course they had Bryce and Strauss and they have some hits, but on the whole, it wasn't maybe quite as good as people expected.
Yeah, that's it. That's interesting because baseball is one of those sports. It's not like it's really not like the NBA or football where you've had, you've seen, you know, some of these guys, you see exactly what they do in college, Division One college football, basketball. You're like, okay, that's going to translate to the NBA. You know, baseball is one of the toughest sports out there as far as, you know, as you, you know, move up. You know, are the skills that we're looking at going to translate for you to be an elite big league player? You know, and I think you even look at it with Dylan Crews. I mean, Dylan Crews, at, you know, we look at him in LSU. He's hitting over 400. Everyone's is so enamored with SEC baseball and all that stuff. But it isn't pro ball. It isn't the big leagues. It's, you know, these guys, when you think about, you know, the big league guys, you know, these guys are the one percenters. You know, they're, what, 95% of guys that get drafted don't play a day in the big leagues, 5%. You know, 5% make it, 17% of those 5% play 10 years or more. So the numbers, when you start to get up top and you face that pitching, you know, as an evaluator and as, you know, as a, you know, as a scout, you know, it's tough to nail on so many different guys. And you're right. I mean, in Rizzo's tenure, you know, they haven't really nailed, they nailed Harper and Strasburg, but you and I could have nailed that. You know, I mean, those two are generational players. And it's like, the Pirates nailing Paul Skeens, you know. So it's just not it. It's not as easy as a task nailing the baseball draft. And you know, I think if there was one thing that you look back at Riz's tenure, it's that, you know, not nailing the draft and the development the way they could have.
Did you have guys when you were coming? So you're drafted in the second round, right? Did you have guys around you that you were like, oh, this is a can't-misser kid when, like, you've maybe in your first year, rookie ball, first year, whatever, and then they just never develop?
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, the first-round pick for me was a guy named David Miller who never made it. You know, I was a second-round pick. Dave Miller was the first-round pick, you know, out of Clemson. This guy's hit with power, hit for average, can run, can, but he never made it, you know? I think this is the biggest thing, guys, when you look at baseball. And as far as drafting and all that stuff goes, like sometimes when you're in the NBA or you're in the NFL, you can out-athlete people.
Yeah.
In the when you get to the big leagues and you play 162 games, you mentally have to have a different gear. You mentally have to have routines that when you show up, you can deal with the failure of this game. This game punches you in the mouth every single night. And if you can't deal with it, you just get weaned out. And I've watched so many guys when I was coming up that was so much more talented than me. You know, I was, God, this guy has a run, what doesn't do this? Yeah, but when 7 o'clock hit, I was getting two or three hits, or I was, you know, 1-for-3 with a walk, or I was battling, you know, or if I, when I was struggling, I was able to say, no, I'm going to get him tomorrow. I'm going to get him tomorrow, and I'll be back at you tomorrow, and have a routine in the batter's box that showed up every single night to have consistent, to be consistent. I think that's the biggest difference. You're drafting guys and go, man, this guy's talented. He hits the ball out of the ballpark. He can fly, and he's got a cannon. Yeah, but guess what? Can he do it for 162? And that's the different animal here in Major League Baseball than it is any other professional sport.
Sean, one of the other things that Nats fans are frustrated with is the fact that the ownership group, since COVID, since that COVID year, when you can't even count that year as a season, but that's when they dumped all the big players, you know, traded Trey Turner and Max and all those deals. But they're frustrated because the payroll has been near the bottom of the league for the last 4 years. So they're, I think they're right around 22 or 24 this year, somewhere in there. They've got one $10 million player, and that's Nate Lowe. One. I don't believe you made the playoffs when you were with the Reds, didn't you? There was a long stretch where you didn't play in the postseason until you got Detroit. Is that correct?
Yeah, we made that with that one game playoff game in '99.
Right.
But, you know, it wasn't really a playoff game. It was just an extra game. So, yeah, that was 8 years, never made the playoffs.
So did you kind of feel that as a player where ownership, and I don't remember who the owners were of the Reds, but ownership just wasn't buying players in free agency, where they were kind of just waiting for those the draft picks to flourish? Because that's what Nats fans are kind of frustrated with.
Yeah, I remember Carl Lindner. You know, so I must admit, it is frustrating as a player because, you know, Carl Lindner was a billionaire, with great guy, but you're like, man, guy's a billionaire. You can't take it with you. You know, you like to see guys spend money and let's go win some games. And I feel like if you own a Major League Baseball franchise, you owe it to the. It's different than just owning a business. You owe it to the fans. You owe it to the city. You owe it to to put the best product on the field. And, yeah, I agree, man. Like, when I look back at my time, you know, we had Ken Griffey Jr. in the lineup, me, Adam Dunn, Austin Kearns. We had some heavyweights. We would lead the league every year in so many offensive categories. but we never went and got pitching.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, if you could go get us two or three pitchers,
right.
we would be winning championships here in Cincinnati. But like, oh no, let's just try and do it on a skimp. You can't do it in Major League Baseball. You have to go get guys. So when I look at the Washington Nationals and you see these young kids coming up, it makes me think of the Chicago Cubs back in like 2014, 15, 16. You go get John Lester. You pay for Lester, the big money. You go bring in John Lackey. You know, you develop Kyle Hendricks. You know, all of a sudden you're like, wow, you know, we're loaded and ready to go because we already had the Chris Bryants and the Anthony Rizzos and the Javi Baez. I mean, you have the James Woods. You have the C.J. Abrams. You know, you have a lot of these, you know, players that are coming up. But, like, at some point, you need to go spend some money to put some people to put some arms around these guys because you don't win at the big league level without arms, period.
Yeah, right.
If you don't have horses on the bump and if you don't have depth with those horses, you ain't winning.
Yeah. Real quick, the Toronto Blue Jays were 8 games back of the Yankees on May 28th. 8 games back. Now they're 3.5 up. It's been an unbelievable flip, and Toronto just won their 9th game in a row last night, beating the White Sox. The Yankees have won 7 games since June 13th. I think there's like 7-15. Are the Yankees kind of a fraud?
I don't think so. I think the Yankees are in a position right now where they've had a ton of injuries, and I think their pitching has just – it's showing up now. You know, when you lose Gerrit Cole and you lose Luis Gil and you know, you're kind of leaning on Max Fried being dominant the way he has been. Carlos Rodon, you know, starting to, you know, hit a little bump in the road, and you got, you know, Warren in your rotation. Stroman, you're leaning on Marcus Stroman right now,
mm-hmm.
and the bullpen just hasn't been that great. I mean, Devin Williams has pretty much scuffled most of the year. They got rid of Clay Holmes for him. Luke Weaver since coming off the IL has really been scuffing a little bit. So I think the bullpen has been really bad, and the rotation, you know, hasn't been great lately. And like I just said about the Nationals, if you don't pitch it in this league, especially in the AL East, you know, you're going to get thumped. And that, I think when you look at the Yankees in this last month, I think they've scored runs, they've put up runs, but they just can't stop the bleeding with runs coming across the plate.
Talking to Sean Casey, who's a 3-time All-Star when he played. He's in the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame. Now he's an MLB Network analyst. And MLB Network has extensive All-Star programming beginning this Friday. Sean's teamed up with Gorilla Glue, the official sponsor of Broken Bats. Go to GorillaTough.com to learn how, if your bat breaks, you can use Gorilla Glue to patch it back up. Did you have a favorite bat when you were a kid?
Well, you know what? When I was a kid, yeah. I mean, I just remember the Black Magics. I
don't
know,
but
back in the day, the Black Magic. You know, those were my favorite bat. You know, I mean, when I used it in college, I still have the one I used in high school. You know, and what's so funny now is, I was part owner of Marucci for a while. Marucci Bats, who's the official bat of Major League Baseball. You know, it's so funny. You know, nowadays you go to a Little League game and everybody has a bat. You know, and they're, you know, these $400 bats. You know, back when we were playing, I think you take that Black Magic, if you punched out, you just hand it to your buddy. Mm-hmm. You go, dude, I just punched out, and everyone used the same bat. So, you know, when you look back at the bats, is, you know, it's the bat thing's always a good thing, and it's getting the business is a lot bigger now than it was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But Gorilla Glue can keep your bats together, I guess, if you got the wood bat.
Well, dude, you know what's incredible about the Gorilla? I just did a Gorilla Glue commercial, and everyone's always like, "Is that you on the commercial?" I'm like, "Yeah." They literally took bats that were broken and glued them back together with the Gorilla Glue. And I was at Great American Ballpark a month and a half ago shooting the commercial, which was so much fun getting back in the box and hitting a little bit. But I was hitting with a bat that Gorilla Glue had glued back together. And I was hitting baseballs with it, and it really worked. It was incredible. So, you know, when you see that commercial, know that those bats are really, really glued back together with Gorilla Glue, and it can hold a bat together even with the contact of a ball.
So I was driving around, and I heard this analyst really upset. I couldn't believe it, but maybe you would be upset too, that Clayton Kershaw is being included in the All-Star game. I guess they name him as a legend. Mm-hmm. I had no problem with it, but this analyst was like, oh, the All-Star game is supposed to be about the best players. He's only had 9 starts, whatever. What does Sean Casey think about something like that?
Are you kidding me? Every player wants to see Clayton Kershaw out there. And you know what? If you're Clayton Kershaw and you've played 18 years, got your 3,000 punch out. Yeah, good for you that they. Good for Rob Manfred that they're doing that, you know, kind of legends rule, bringing this guy in. I remember back in 2001 when I was at the All-Star game in Seattle. You know, it was Cal Ripken's last All-Star game. I think they brought in Tony Gwynn, if I'm not mistaken. You know, it was kind of like, hey, Gwynn's going to be in here too. But Ripken ends up homering in that game, and you know, it was just an incredible send-off. So, now, I mean, I think it's a great thing that Clayton Kershaw is going to be a part of this All-Star game, and it's really to honor him while he's still playing.
Yeah. By the way, real quick, Paul Skenes is unbelievable. He might win the National League Cy Young. He's probably the leader in the clubhouse. He or Zach Wheeler. But, I mean, every time he takes the bump, he gets zero run support. I mean, literally, maybe one run. I know he had a bad start when he played in Milwaukee back in late June, but for most part, he loses 1-0 or 2-1.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. I mean, that's what I mean. If you're Paul Skenes, you're like, it's just like, you know, you're talking about the ownership. I mean, with the Pirates, so what are we doing? We got a guy like Paul Skenes. They had a guy like Gerrit Cole a few years back. Like, you can't waste these years of a guy that's so elite. But his Skenes goes out there. It seems like he goes out there with shutout innings the other day, 5 innings, 10 punches, and, you know, they end up losing the game, but, you know, with a shutout. But yeah, man, that's got to be frustrating for him when you do that and you can't get any run support.
I mean, he's given up 7 earned runs, Sean, in his last 40 2/3 innings.
Oh my God, guys, there you go. There's your once in generational player, Paul Skenes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, appreciate the time, buddy. You're great on the network, and we love it. And hopefully we'll get you on the show sometime later in the summer. Right,
thanks
bro?
A lot, man.
Thanks. Hey, man, great interview, guys. Great questions, and best of luck to you guys, and talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you, pal.
Good stuff. Thanks, Sean.
Yep.
What a great dude. That guy was an absolute beast. How many guys could say they retired 300 hitter?
I know. Career 300 hitter, yep. He was a beast.
His last year at Richmond was absurd.
My boy at JMU said we couldn't get him out. Literally,
I bet.
Couldn't get him out.
I bet. An absolute beast. And it is wild how, you know, like he said, that there are guys that are faster, stronger, more power, whatever. But at the big league level, can you do it night in and night out? You have that mental wherewithal.
800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junkies on the Fan.